You're listening to Wheelationships.
You were here last week. You know that we were talking about the principle, happiness is a choice, and it is a choice. Our happiness doesn't have to depend on our circumstances, as we so often tend to want it to do. And we talked about different ways of our perspective and different choices that we can make that will influence our happiness. And one of those things that we talked about was the very simple smile that we have. And we talked about the science of a smile and how ingenious God's creation is, that He designed the muscles in our face to communicate with our brain to release these chemicals when we do what we call that full smile. It actually has a name. It's called a Duchenne smile, that affects the muscles not only around our mouth, but our cheeks and our eyes. And Darlene's giving me such a pretty one right now, that it releases those chemicals in our brain, the serotonin and the endorphins, which are natural antidepressants and natural painkillers, and the marvel of what God has provided for us in order to give us easy access to happiness should we choose it. We talked about conditioning that we sometimes fall into in our thinking, and how conditioning can affect our happiness. And then we closed kind of as a segue into this week of the making the connection with the little short video I showed there of happiness and gratitude, and how our choices and gratitude can affect our happiness. And one of the biggest ways you can choose to be happy is to condition yourself every day to be grateful, to look for opportunities of gratitude. I had shared with you last week that the air conditioner had gone out on our van, and we had no air like for 4 days prior to that particular Sunday. And it was really interesting, because up to that week, the van, first it was working, and then it started making kind of a weird noise. And Tim and I were both going, oh man, this can't be good. And our van's kind of old. And then the air quit working. And then a few hours later, it would work again. And then by the end of the evening, you know, it wasn't working again. And it did that for like a day or two until it just quit altogether. And then we had 4 days leading up to last Sunday where we had no air conditioner in our van whatsoever. And Sunday night, after, you know, we were talking in class and talking about choosing to be happy and choosing to be grateful, and I was laying in bed kind of playing over the day like I tend to do, and I was thanking God for numerous things. And I thought of the van, the air conditioner, and I was thanking God for that van. I thought, you know, that has been a wonderful van. It came into our life through some really blessing circumstances. We've had very minimal maintenance on it. It's been a great van. Lord, right now the air conditioner's not working in it, but I am still choosing to thank you for that van. I trust you to take care of it. I don't know what it's going to take to fix it. I'm not going to worry about it. It's your vehicle that you've given us to steward. I just give it to you. You know, went off to sleep, got up the next morning and went out to run errands. And I said, I'm going to do this kind of early in the day so it doesn't get too hot and I'm not, you know, getting all hot in the car. And had out of habit, turned the air on, and just a little bit of air started coming out. And I'm going, ooh, 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 ooh. Air. Lord, thank you for this air. I appreciate the air that I have. I appreciate what I've got. Did my errands, went home. The next day went out and did my errands, and it was whoosh, blowing on me, and it was nice and cool. And I'm texting Tim, we have air in our van this morning. We're not supposed to, but we've got air. This is great. Lord, thank you for this air. And we had the previous week tried to make an appointment to get our van in, but they couldn't fit us in until the following Thursday. So this past Thursday was when we were to take the van in. Wednesday, went out in the van again, and I came to church Wednesday night, and I told Tim, I said, I'm actually freezing in the car because the air is so cold in this car. And our car appointment was at 8:30 in the morning. And so we get up, and I said, I feel silly taking the car in because it feels kind of like you've had this disease and you've gotten healed and you're showing up at the doctor, and the doctor's going, what are you doing here? But I said, what's the worst thing they can do is they could tell us absolutely nothing is wrong with your air conditioner, even though the previous week it hadn't worked at all. So we took the van on in Thursday morning, and sure enough, by that afternoon, we've looked and looked and looked. We can't find a thing wrong with the air conditioner in your van. So I thank God, even though circumstances had not changed, even with an air that didn't work, I was choosing happiness and choosing gratefulness. God didn't have to bless us in spite of that, but He did. And I thank God for that. We can choose to be happy. It's tax season. We want to grumble when it's tax season because nobody wants to pay their taxes. But you know what? You can look at that a little differently. If you're paying taxes, that means you made an income last year, and that is something that you can be grateful for. We want to grumble about our job. If there's one thing we have been conditioned to grumble about, it's grumbling about going to work. We complain about it. We don't want to go there. You may not even like your job, but if you're here this morning and you really do not like your job, I have a surefire cure for you this morning. On your way home from church, go down the road there to Walgreens and buy yourself a rectal thermometer. Now, I promise you it's not going to get any grosser than that, so it's going to be okay. Buy yourself a Q-tip rectal thermometer and open up those written instructions inside, and you're going to find these words written there. Every rectal thermometer by Q-tip is personally tested. So if you think you don't like your job, I have just given you some ammo for a grateful heart this morning. You can get on your knees and thank God that you are not in quality control at Q-tip. Your job's not so bad. But we want to complain. And one of the main things about ungratefulness is that we don't see it in ourselves. It's very difficult to see ungratefulness in the mirror. We can spot it a mile away in somebody else. We can get upset and angry when we're not given the appreciation or thanks or gratitude that we think we may be owed. But it's really, really hard for us to see an ungrateful spirit or an ungrateful attitude in our own self. You're not going to hear someone say, yeah, I am an ungrateful person. That is me. Yep, that's me. Because we don't see it. In fact, when somebody calls us on it, we get really defensive about it. We even can get angry about it. And we immediately go and make this mental internal list of all the things that we're grateful for, just to prove to ourselves, if nothing else, that's not true. I'm not an ungrateful person. I do express gratitude. And we want to reinforce that. And that's why it is so hard to see in our own self, because we're so quick to defend it. You can be ungrateful in your relationships and never even know it. And ungratefulness and greed are cousins, and they kind of go hand in hand and play a part with one another. And both are very difficult to see in our own self. And there's two important things to remember about gratitude. The first thing is that gratitude generates generosity. Gratitude generates generosity. Have you ever noticed when you do something for someone and they're grateful, you're just almost happy to do more for them or to do it again, to repeat the process? But when you do something for someone and they're ungrateful or they aren't thankful, they don't seem to appreciate it at all, you don't tend to want to invest more there in that particular person. You don't tend to want to repeat the process because there hasn't been gratitude. Ingratitude can shut down generosity, whereas gratitude generates generosity. Second thing is, ingratitude can shut down an entire relationship. We've probably all got a relationship that at some point in the past was a lot stronger and closer than it is today. And there may be a lot of reasons, but a lot of times when you peel back all the layers, one of the reasons and causes was there was a pattern of ingratitude. And when there's a pattern of ingratitude, you begin to want to pull away. You don't want to invest as much, and eventually it'll shut down the relationship. You don't feel generous towards them when there's ingratitude. You don't want to invest yourself there. You don't want to invest your time or your emotions or your passion or whatever it may be. You just want to invest very little. In fact, the lack of gratitude is at the heart of a lot of relationship struggles that we have, but because we don't see it in ourselves, we don't recognize it as easily. We can very easily spot it in someone else. We're going to look at an encounter that Jesus had this morning. In fact, it's a story in the Bible that most people immediately think of when you think of thankfulness and gratitude. It's found in Luke chapter 17, verses 11 through 19. It says, now on his way to Jerusalem, Jesus traveled along the border between Samaria and Galilee. And as he was going into a village, 10 men who had leprosy met him. They stood at a distance and they called out in a loud voice, Jesus, Master, have pity on us. When they saw him, he said, go, show yourselves to the priest. And as they went, they were cleansed. And one of them, when he saw he was healed, came back, praising God in a loud voice, and he threw himself at Jesus' feet and thanked him. He was a Samaritan. And Jesus asked, "Were not all 10 cleansed? Where are the other 9? Was no one found to return and give praise to God except this foreigner?" And then he said to him, "Rise and go. Your faith has made you well." So we find Jesus traveling along the borderlines between Samaria and Galilee, which probably means he was trying to stay out of the main public eyes, on the outskirts of the area. And he encounters these 10 men with leprosy. Now, leprosy, of what they called it in the Bible in those particular times, was a horrid disease. You didn't all the time die from it, but you very seldom were cured or got well from it. And it was, it ate away at your skin tissues. It also, it can cause disfigurement. It affected the nerve systems of your body. It wasn't just a skin disease. And most hampering was the fact that people thought it was highly, highly contagious. So if you had leprosy, you were cut off completely from everybody. You couldn't be with your family or the community. You lived completely alone or with other lepers. That was the way that it had to be. And often they had to ring little bells to warn other people that they were coming because nobody wanted to be anywhere near a leper. So Jesus encounters these 10 lepers, and from afar they holler out to him, and Jesus's immediate response is, "Go, show yourself to the priest." Now, according to Old Testament law, if you had leprosy and you're cured, it disappeared, or whatever the case may be, were required to go to the priest to get approval to integrate back into society and with your family. And it's really weird that Jesus would tell them to go show themselves to the priest, because their circumstances hadn't changed. They were still lepers. They were still eaten up with this disease, and yet Jesus says to them, "Go and show yourself to the priest." He was asking them to walk in faith. Just like we talked about last week, you don't have to wait for your circumstances to change in order to choose to be happy. You don't have to have your circumstances dictate whether you're going to choose to express gratitude. And another example here in this story is, your obedience doesn't have to depend on your circumstances. And Jesus is saying to them, his message there is, you think you know who I am. You're calling me master. Now show me that I really am your master, and go obey me and do what I've told you to do. And a lot of times he tells us to do the same thing. He's saying, I want you to obey me and then I'll bless you. But we want him to bless us and then we will happily obey, because it's a whole lot easier that way. But that's not usually what he's calling and telling us to do. And as the story continues, we see as they went on their way, they were healed. And then one of them returned to Jesus in a loud voice, praising him, throws himself at Jesus' feet, and thanks him for all that he's done. And Jesus said, well, wait a minute, weren't all 10 of you cleansed? Where are the other 9? And we see this story and we so easily think, man, how in the world could all 10 of them not return? What were those 9 thinking? I don't understand how they could not return and give Jesus thanks. That would never be me. I would never be the one that didn't return. We see so clearly, at least from the outside looking in, we're so sure that would never be us. And the funny thing about this story is that we would never tuck it away in our file folder of being thankful or being unthankful, being a lack of gratitude, had the one not returned. Because we see stories of Jesus touching and healing people all through the New Testament. Very, very seldom do we see it recorded that somebody went back and told him thank you, at least not that we're told. They receive their healing, they rejoice, yes, but they go forward, they take off, they do what we often do. We take the prize and we run with it, even rejoicing, but very seldom do we find anybody going back and telling him thank you, but we do here. And that's what makes it highlight as such a story of a correction for gratitude and ingratitude. And if we could step into the story, if we could walk down that road and catch up with those 9 and stop them and go, wait a minute, guys, you know, were you not grateful? You know, one was, were you not, you know, how could you not reach it? Do you realize how bad this one Samaritan is making the rest of you 9 look for all of history to read and record about? What is wrong? And they would probably look at us perplexed, as people do when we call us on that, and go, what do you mean ungrateful? I am grateful. My heart is overflowing with gratitude. In fact, I cannot wait to get to my family and tell them all that Jesus has done. I'm very grateful. What do you mean not being grateful? I can't wait to celebrate. And meanwhile, Jesus is still down the road going, weren't there 10? Where are the other 9? Why hasn't that gratitude been expressed? They hadn't closed the loop. When we express our gratitude, it finishes. When we don't express, it leaves something undone. And it's the same problem we have. We didn't go back to the source and give thanks where we should have given thanks. We might have celebrated with everybody else, but we didn't go back and give thanks where we needed to. And now before you're too quick to go, but that would not be me. I'm telling you, I'm a very grateful person. Came across this story. This man, his name is Charles Plum. True life story. He was a United States Navy jet pilot in Vietnam, and he was on his 76th combat mission when an air-to-missile, surface-to-air missile shot his plane down, and he ejected and floated down right into enemy hands and spent 6 years in a Vietnam prison. And today he goes around sharing and telling others of, you know, his experiences and the lessons that he learned while he was there. And one day he and his wife were sitting in a restaurant eating, and a man comes over to his table and he says, "You're Charles Plum, aren't you? Or you were a jet fighter in Vietnam, right? Your plane was struck down and you were a prisoner of war and you were on the Kitty Hawk, right?" And he's going, "Well, yeah, that's it. You know, how do you know all this?" And he says, "I packed your parachute. I was a sailor on the Kitty Hawk." And they shared a little bit more, and the man went on his way, and Charles Plum said, "Later that night I was laying in bed and I couldn't sleep. I kept thinking about this man that had packed my parachute." And he said, "I tried so hard to picture what he might have looked like all those years ago. Tried to picture what he looked like in his Navy uniform." And he said, "I just couldn't remember him." And I thought, how many times did I walk by him and never express gratitude? How many hours that man spent folding the silks of the chute for so many people who he literally was folding their fate in his hands, and yet I never failed to acknowledge him in any way. I never said anything to him. And I can relate to that story because last year Stephen Porter in my summer decided it was a really good idea to jump out of an airplane. And as Tim and Rachel and I went with them, we were waiting in this great big hangar area, waiting for their turn. I didn't spend the time praying for Summer and Stephen because I zeroed in on all those men in the middle of the room packing parachutes. And I was watching them like a mama hawk, not that I'd know whether they were doing it right or not, but I found myself, that's the people that I was praying for, because I knew what they were doing was going to directly impact that consequence and the outcome of their day more than anybody else. And so today Charles Plum goes around and he asks the question, who's packing your parachute? Because we can't get through a day, much less life, without the help of other people. Some of them we visibly keep on our radar and we go, "Yeah, I appreciate you, honey, yeah." But how many invisible people cross our radar every day that we fail to express any kind of thanks or gratitude? Those people that are packing our parachutes, we may appreciate these things, but we don't express them, or we express them to somebody else. You know, we go to work and say what a wonderful spouse we have or what great things they did, but we didn't actually verbalize that face to face to our spouse. Or we tell our friends what great parents we have. Yeah, they're awesome, but we don't go to mom and dad and tell them what great parents they are. Mom, Dad, you have been the best in-laws. best in-laws I could have ever asked for, and wonderful grandparents for my kids. But we don't go back to the source and express that gratitude. We may have an employee who is a wonderful asset, and we may tell other people, but we don't go to the employee and express that to them, what they mean to us. Telling others is great, but don't do it in lieu of going to the source. Posting it on Facebook and Twitter is wonderful, get a lot of attention and likes, but it does not replace going to the person themselves and expressing that gratitude. Telling others these things is so important, and it's dangerous relationally when we don't, because of this next principle here. unexpressed gratitude communicates ingratitude. We don't realize it does, but we've discovered from our story that's exactly what happens. Unexpressed gratitude communicates ingratitude. We feel it, we think it, our heart is overflowing with it, but if it's not expressed where it needs to be, it's as if it's ingratitude. Just like those nine, we're so forward focused. We've got what we need and we're moving on. For them it was, I've got my new life, I've got my healing, I get to be reunited with my family, you know, we get this new opportunity, we get this new job, you know, we get this new provision, you know, whatever God's done, we have this meal that's been provided and we grab it and go and we run forward and we have failed to express our gratitude to those people, circumstances that have played a part. And the reason unexpressed gratitude is such a relationship destroyer, because of this next line on your handout. Unexpressed gratitude is a form of rejection. It's a form of rejection. I'm going to use an illustration that I can thankfully say doesn't take place in our house, but it's such an easy illustration to relate to, because I've been in a lot of homes where I see it over and over. In our house, we eat, family meal time is a big deal to us. We have dinners together all the time. I'm the primary cook, and I'm happy about that. I'm good with that. But when we eat, I have never provided a meal for my family that they did not thank me for. And I know you shouldn't always say nevers and those kind of things, but I truly, truly don't think there's ever been a time where they haven't thanked me for it. Usually when we sit down on a meal, one or two as they begin to eat, we'll go, oh, this is really good, Mom, thanks. But at the end of the meal, they all thank me for the meal. At some point or the other, they will come to me and give me thanks for the meal. But I've been in a lot of homes, and I think a lot of you, especially primary cooks in the home, can relate. A lot of times what happens, Mom's in there in the kitchen cooking a meal, you know, probably after working really hard all day long, either inside the home or outside of the home, but she's getting a meal together and she calls everybody to dinner and nobody shows up because Dad's still reading the paper or he's on the computer, the kids are doing their homework or watching TV. She's got to call again a second time, and finally they start scraggling in, and within minutes the meal's gone, and then so are they. Mom's alone in the kitchen again, although it might sound a little different this time because maybe doors are shutting a little harder than before, drawers are being slammed a little harder than before, because there was a lack of gratitude, and it begins, especially if it's a pattern over time, it feels like a rejection of all the work that she's done and all that she has. And if you were to jump and go grab all those family members and go, wait a minute, didn't you appreciate the meal you just had? Wasn't it good? Was it not to your liking? Yeah, it was great. Mom's a great cook, but you know, she's Mom. It's her job. She's supposed to feed us. And we don't remember to express gratitude for those things. Or you can flip it over to Dad there, who sometimes feels like the personal ATM machine. Dad, I need. Dad, can I have? Dad, would you please give me? And if you stop the wife and the kids and say, don't you appreciate? Yeah, Dad's great. He's wonderful. But have you stopped and looked Dad in the eye and told Dad how much you appreciate that and expressed that gratitude to him? You can send him a text, but tell him to his face. See, here's the next thing. If gratitude isn't expressed, it doesn't exist. And that's really hard for us to get our brain around because we're so quick to defend the fact that, yes, we have a lot of gratitude. We're grateful. But if it isn't expressed, it doesn't exist. That's why Jesus was still standing in the road saying, weren't there nine? Where's everybody else? May not be what you intended to communicate, but that's the message that they're receiving when gratitude isn't expressed. Have you ever been on a job where you've worked long hours, you go the extra mile, you do the extra job, you put in everything you've got and then some, and your boss never says a thing? May not complain about you, but he's not coming back or she's not coming back and expressing gratitude for what you've done in any relationship. Over time, if that's a pattern, resentment will begin to breed in that relationship if you're not careful, whether it's on the job or in the home. God created us to be acceptance magnets. We gravitate towards people and circumstances that show us acceptance and approval and appreciation. We've talked about that a lot in here, especially through marriage series. We repel people and circumstances where we feel we're not appreciated or we're not accepted. We don't want to be with those. We don't want to invest in those. And over time, if you continually refuse to express gratitude, you will drive the heart right out of the relationship. They may still come home after work in the evening, or they may still show up at work on the job, but their heart will no longer be there, and they will eventually gravitate to where they are appreciated and they are thanked. So express, if it's not expressed, it doesn't exist. So who are the people in your life that you're grateful for? Think about that today with fresh new eyes, not just your typical hitters of who you're appreciative of, but think of it with new eyes. Who are those people, those visible and invisible on your radar? Tell that employee why you appreciate them. Tell your spouse, your parent, your kids, you know, your coworkers, whatever it may be. When's the last time you thanked your garbage man? You know, when you're driving away someday, roll down that window and thank them for the job they're doing. But what we want to do a lot of times is go, but that's their job. That's what they get paid to do. And we don't think about the fact that gratitude should be expressed. He'd probably pass out on the pavement because I doubt he's ever had anybody do that for him. But we need to show them how much we appreciate him. Was thinking about this past week, thinking about last Sunday's lesson as we were talking about happiness and the Duchenne smile and those things, and thinking about where we were going this week. And I had some praise and worship music on, and I thought, this is the perfect, powerful, joyful combination, is if I smile, that chemical inducing smile, while I'm expressing gratitude to my Lord and Savior. It is a guaranteed joyful experience for me, because God has wired my brain, my body, and my heart to do that. And if there's anybody that deserves my gratitude, boy, it's him. Psalms 92:4 says, "You thrill me, Lord, with all you have done for me. I sing for joy because of what you have done." Did you know that you cannot be ungrateful and happy at the same time? You can be ungrateful and depressed at the same time. You can be ungrateful and angry at the same time. But you cannot be ungrateful and happy at the same time. Got a quote from Andy Stanley, who wrote this as a reminder to himself. He says, "To refuse to pay my debts of gratitude is to live with an inflated view of myself." And instead of thanking the people that are packing our parachutes, we kind of live with a little bit of an entitlement attitude. We don't see it. We don't recognize it. We see it in other people. We don't see it in ourselves too much. Well, it's their job. It's what they're supposed to do. Well, she gets paid to bring my food to the table, or he gets paid to pick up my garbage, or I pay that employee to do that. We live with a little bit of a sense of entitlement when we aren't conditioning ourselves to daily express a heart of gratitude. You are never going to meet an arrogant person that is grateful. And you're never going to meet a humble person that's extraordinarily ungrateful. We give ourselves a lot of credit. We think, man, I'm going to be that returner in the story, not the other nine. It won't be me. I'll be the one that's given thanks. But how is that really playing out every day in your life, in the people and opportunities that God's put before you? We drag our feet about writing those thank you notes. My goodness, you'd think you were telling them to do some horrible task. Write those thank you notes. Express those words of appreciation. Just expressing gratitude may be the very thing that turns around a dying relationship, whether that's, like I said, in the home or in the office. And don't forget what we learned about last week in that video, if you were here. We tend to think expressing gratitude is for the benefit of the person we're telling. And yeah, they do benefit from that. But we learned that statistics show you get the highest boost of happiness as being the one doing the expressing. It's going to benefit you in the area of happiness as much. Psalms 50:23, our closing scripture this morning, it says, "But giving thanks is a sacrifice that truly honors me." That's what God thinks. That's God's opinion right there. Giving thanks honors me. We're not going to always feel like doing it. We may not always remember to do it, but we need to remember as we honor God when we do it. God wants us to be that one returner, not the nine that's running on forgetting to express our thanks and our gratitude. Let's close before we go. Let's pray. God, thank you so much for all that you do. Lord, I know that we tend to be naturally on the selfish side of things, but Lord, I pray that you'd give us eyes to see and ears to hear of the things that cross our path that we should be grateful for. Help us to recondition our thinking so that we express that gratitude. If there's areas in our life, I pray for each and every person that's here this morning that the Holy Spirit would teach them what he wants them personally to get as a takeaway from this lesson this morning. Help us to see people and to express thanks in a way that honors you and brings you glory. And most of all, God, we give you thanks. Help us to be people that are expressive with our thanksgiving and with our joy of all that we are blessed with, Lord. We thank you, give you praise. In Jesus' name, amen.